all of us are familiar with the Christmas story found in the Gospel of Luke. But we're going to examine the prophetic words of Zacharias today and see that they open up a new view into the kingdom of God, a view that may be contrary to many things that we have commonly accepted as true. These powerful words ring across the centuries in stark contrast to our natural reasoning, showing the true meaning of Messiah Jesus coming into the world, that those who dwelt in deep darkness might see a great light. What are these powerful words? Find out in just a moment on Skies Revival Radio. Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. We're glad you joined us today. In the Christmas story, we are told that an angel of the Lord visited John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, and brought him the great news that though his wife was barren, she would indeed bear a son. This son would be the forerunner, the prophet of the Messiah, the Redeemer of Israel. But rather than rejoice at the news, Zacharias' heart was filled with doubt. He had waited so many years for a son that he couldn't bring himself to believe that something this wonderful could happen to him. And so the angel of the Lord struck him, so he was unable to speak. Now, evidently, his time of silent reflection had brought about a great change in Zacharias, because on the day that his son, John, was circumcised, his voice was suddenly restored, and he spoke a prophecy full of faith and of great significance to the people of his time and to all of us today. Here are the words that he spoke, found in Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 69. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has visited us and accomplished the redemption of his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high shall visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Now, these words are wonderful and so inspiring. But as wonderful as these words are, they were also in direct opposition to all that the religious leaders of the day were hoping for as they awaited the coming of Messiah. And you might wonder, how is that? Why was this in contrast to what they were expecting? Well, because the religious leaders were looking for a different kind of kingdom. They were looking for an earthly kingdom. Their land was occupied by the Romans, and they felt their rights were being trampled in the dust, and they were looking for a new king who would arise in their midst to throw off the yoke of tyranny, to establish justice, and to bring Israel into a new glorious prominence among the nations. They were looking for a new Solomon. This was the hope of all Israel, the coming of Messiah to bring them wealth and respect and deliverance. But instead of confirming their hopes, Zechariah prophesied of another kingdom, a kingdom of righteousness, a kingdom of holiness, a salvation that would bring about the forgiveness of their sins. This is the wisdom of God. This was God's idea. This was God's redemption. And it was completely contrary to what they were expecting. But more than that, it was contrary to what they wanted. Now, listen to the wisdom of God. Had Messiah Jesus come in the way that they were expecting, in a way that would bring about an earthly kingdom, and if he had come with all power and splendor, ushering in a new golden age, had King Jesus come in his true, real glory, all the religious leaders of the day would have been fawning all over him, trying to get the best positions in the new kingdom. There would have been all types of political maneuvering and ambitious plans to get prominent positions. This is what the Pharisees were looking for. They were looking for an earthly kingdom. Had Jesus come in his glory, these same leaders would have been all over him, vying for places of power. But the kingdom would then have been made up of and comprised of men whose hearts were filled with all corruption. So God, in his wisdom, sent Jesus, the Messiah, to earth in a humble form, in a lowly form, introducing not an earthly kingdom, but a kingdom of goodness and righteousness, a kingdom free from greed, a kingdom free from pride, a kingdom free from worldliness, a kingdom full of humility and service to one another. In short, a kingdom of holiness. Now, this kingdom, the kingdom that the king had brought, that Messiah had brought, and the kingdom that was prophesied about, well, this kingdom of holiness had no appeal whatsoever to the religious leaders. They didn't want any part of it. In fact, they hated this kingdom of holiness, and they proved their hatred by putting to death the author of it. And this was to fulfill the words of Simeon, who prophesies later on in Luke in the next chapter. And Simeon prophesied that the Redeemer would be rejected for the purpose of revealing what was actually in the hearts of men. So God sent his Son in humility, bringing a kingdom of holiness instead of a kingdom of this world, and he was rejected by men. Now this is of the utmost significance to us today, because Jesus is still humble, he's still lowly, and he's still bringing a kingdom of righteousness and holiness. And this kingdom is still unpalatable to those who are looking for an earthly kingdom, to those who are looking to have riches and honor on earth. Nothing has changed over all the centuries, and we have very many religious leaders today who are trying to use godliness as a means of earthly gain. And they puff up and they excite carnal desires in men and women, enticing them to look for their kingdom of riches and glory and honor here now on earth. They're seeking an earthly kingdom, and they teach those who listen to look for an earthly kingdom. And to those who follow them in looking for an earthly kingdom, it is a stumbling block. Many don't want to have anything to do with the true kingdom, which is about being delivered from our carnal desires and our worldly heart attitudes. Many will, in practice, have nothing to do with our humble Savior, who has brought a kingdom of holiness. The true kingdom does not consist of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and holiness. And many times, God will bring His people through great times of tribulation in order to purge the love of the world out of them. In fact, we are told by the Apostle John that if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. So those who are seeking the real Savior, those who are seeking His true kingdom, will find instead of honor that they are rejected. Instead of glory, they're slandered. Instead of riches, they find themselves suddenly out of a job and praying for their daily bread. Instead of a kingdom of earthly pleasure, they must turn more and more to the pleasures of the Holy Spirit, drinking their comfort from the eternal springs of salvation. These find their joy in the closeness of God. And I urge you not to resist this great work of the Holy Spirit. Don't be consumed with getting ahead in this world. Don't be consumed with obtaining riches, for by it many have left the way and plunged into many harmful desires. Our kingdom, the real kingdom of God, is found in overcoming sin. Remember, our Redeemer came to free us from sin. So the true kingdom is found in overcoming the sins of our heart, the lust of our eye. It's found in putting to death the deeds of the flesh. It's found in the humility exhibited by its author. His kingdom is so completely contrary to this world, to our worldly thinking, to our earthly reason. His kingdom is of humility and lowliness and righteousness. And for those who follow after this Savior, their joy becomes God giving His people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high shall visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And this kingdom, this true kingdom that our Savior brought, this heavenly kingdom which God brought into our hearts, this is the way of peace. It's not getting ahead in the world. It is obtaining freedom from sin, seeking after righteousness and holiness. It's not becoming honored in the world. It's becoming humbled in our own eyes. Jesus said, the greatest of all will be the servant of all, and that we should esteem one another as better than ourselves. This is the wonderful kingdom that our God brought when He sent Jesus into this darkness. Lord, we look to You today and we thank You so much that You are the light that came into the world. You came to turn our hearts away from all of our false loves, away from all of our ambitious plans and our plans for recognition in this world. And You brought in that kingdom of sweetness and lowliness and humility, Lord, demonstrating it even by being born in a stable, being born outside the town. Lord, every bit of You reflects that humility that we see in God. We thank You for Your ways and we ask You to have Your way with us. Lord, conform us to Your image. Lord, conform us to Your image. Help us to seek You and to read Your word that we might be renewed and become new creatures in Christ. Lord, we want to exhibit your character. Please forgive us and cleanse us of all of our sins, all of our worldly ways. Help us to seek for a kingdom and a city not made by human hands, but one whose architect and builder is God. Lord, we thank you for coming into this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Please give us a call or send us an email and let us know how you're doing. We would love to hear from you. If you have any prayer needs, we would love to pray with you. If you have any questions, we'd love to talk to you. More than anything else, we'd just like to be in fellowship with you. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and it's available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
Skies Revival Radio is an outreach of the Sky Family Music and Revival Ministry and the Prince Edward Island Bible Institute. The Sky Family tours from coast to coast in the U.S. and Canada with a unique blend of Celtic-inspired music and dance, along with a powerful call to personal revival. Please visit us at skiesrevivalradio.com. That's spelled SKYS, revivalradio.com.